Okay, praise the Lord. I know I was crying, different reason maybe, but no, just kidding. Kids were great. We did good. We made it through. We prayed for the ladies. And we missed them last week, but we still did great.
Amen.
We had a good crowd, and the Lord's helping us, and He did a wonderful work. You know, sometimes people think, you know, like, I didn't get a deep work, I just got a revelation. Well, that's a deep work.
Yeah.
You think you knew something, the Lord showed you something you didn't know before. And you might think it's small, but it has a direction and a purpose which is going to cause you to go a certain path, which means you're not going to go a different path, which means you're going to be on the right path, and then you're going to do greater things because you're on the right path. And it leads somewhere. It's not just a small thing. You know, it's a big thing. So any little thing you receive from the Lord is a big thing. Amen?
Amen.
He doesn't give just little things. Right. He gives big things.
Right.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness and for your mercy and for your word. And we thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts. And we purpose, Lord, to have ears that are open, hearts that are ready to hear and to receive your truths. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, last week we talked about righteousness. And righteousness means that you can come before God without a sense of a guilt or inferiority or shame. And we talked about how Jesus was made sin so that you could be made right. And that you basically traded places, that he never sinned, and he became sin, and all he ever was righteous. And that means what? He could stand before the Father without any sense of guilt or shame or fear. He wouldn't pray hoping something would get answered. You know, like, I hope the Lord hears my prayers. Jesus never prayed that way, right? Well, that's Jesus. He's righteous, right? Okay. But the Bible we talked about last week is he made you righteous. I mean, he actually made you that way. And so, you know, we sometimes think like, I can stand before, or I'm seated with Jesus in heavenly places. And maybe we mentally agree to that. But what does that actually mean? If you think about it, if you can stand with him or you're seated with him, then you have to be righteous to be in that position.
Yes, yes.
You think you can hang around God if you're not righteous?
Hmm.
You couldn't before you received him.
Yeah.
But he said he made you to sit together with him. He's going to make you do it. Well, the only way he make you do it is you have to become what he was, which was righteous. Because he became what you were, which is what? Sinful.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So you don't feel bad now that, hey, and this is, we talked about, this is the partnership. This is, we're talking about partnership. This is his part. He made you righteous. Your part is to embrace that, to pray, to seek the Lord, and to see what you need to do. Is that me? Is that system? Okay. So we're supposed to do, I can stand in the corner, like, you know, up on top, I can just see everything. But you're supposed to do your part, and that part is no longer feeling like you're no good, a nobody, but that you come before him. You know, think about, Jesus never questioned whether his prayer would get answered. So why would you question it? You think, well, I'm not him. But in a sense, you're not him, but he made you like him. He gave you his rights and his privileges to be just like him. So when you come before the Father, now you can come what? With confidence. Right? So that's what we talked to some about last week. We had lots of scriptures that we went over. Today we're going to talk about the real ID. You know what real ID is?
I've been reading about it.
Yeah, the conspiracy theorists. I know, it's not necessarily a conspiracy, it's actually happening. But real ID is, you get this little chip or identification card that states this is who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't travel without it. You know, that doesn't sound so good. Like, I got to carry my whatever ID with me wherever I go. But I was thinking about this because in Christ, He says, we are identified with him. And that is really your genuine real ID.
Yes.
Is what happened, what he's done for you, and how you respond to what he's done for you. So we're going to look at a scripture. Because I think once you get this, once we grow in this, as we grow in this, it's going to be amazing because we'll be like, you mean the enemy's been lying to me for so long, and I've been taking what he said, kind of twisted, kind of cleverly disguised as a truth when it really wasn't true. So look at this. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Now we've heard this before, but let's read it, or let's just think about it like we've never heard it. It says this, I am crucified with Christ, mm-hmm. nevertheless I live,
mm-hmm.
not I, yet not I, but Christ lives in me.
Mm-hmm.
And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So here Paul states that he's been crucified with Christ. What exactly does that mean? When you look at the crucifixion, what happened? There's a few things that happened. It means that he was judged. Was Jesus judged? Yep. They passed judgment on him. He was condemned. He was stripped naked. He was beaten. And he died with Christ. And he said, this is the same things that's happened to me because I was crucified with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in our mind, sometimes we've heard for so long that, you know, God just laid on Jesus our sins, which is true. He did. But he laid something more than that on Jesus. He laid you on him.
Wow.
Because you're the one that carried the sins.
Mm.
And this is why Paul says, I was crucified with Christ.
Mm.
My identity is with him.
Yeah.
It's not just imaginary. Like, in God's eyes, you were crucified with Christ. So these things happened to you. You were what? You were judged, you were condemned, you were stripped naked, you were beaten, and you died together with Christ. Ephesians 2:6 says this, he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Well, you notice the word together, right?
Yes.
That has the idea of what? Partnership,
mm-hmm.
or unity. So God raised you up together with Christ. Why? Because you died with Christ. You are identified with Christ. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you identify, you take partnership with him. Amen? That's basically what you do. So he says, we've been raised together with Christ. Look at 1 Peter 4:1. I have lots of scriptures. You know, it's funny how many scriptures talk about this, but you miss it when you read it. And you go back and you look at it and think, wait a minute. I read that before, but I didn't see it that way.
Yeah.
And these are some of the things the Lord wants us to see. Why? Because if we can see this, it'll change our perspective. It'll change the way we act. It'll change the way we respond to this world and in this world. And 1 Peter 4:1 says this, therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh and died for us, arm yourself, this is Amplified Version, like warriors, with the same purpose, being willing to suffer for doing what is right and pleasing God, because whosoever has suffered in the flesh, being like-minded with Christ, is done with intentional sin, having stopped pleasing the world. Now, this is interesting. He says, since we suffered in the flesh and Christ died for us like Christ suffered, we also keep this in our mind that our flesh is, quote, died, and the life we live to serve God.
Mm-hmm.
We live on purpose to serve him. He says, arm yourself. What does arm yourself mean?
Get equipped.
Be equipped. Be ready. Arm yourself with this. Think like a warrior here. Because he who suffered in the flesh, being like-minded with Christ, is done with intentional sin and has stopped pleasing the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what I want you, you know, I was studying this and we're understanding partnership. Here's what I really want you to get. You know, sometimes, why do we sin? Different reasons, right? But sometimes we sin because we want to please our flesh, we want to please others, there's a bunch of reasons. But if we recognize that the world and the world system hates you, it hates you because you identify with him. If the world, if they had their way with you right now, they would beat you all over again. They would want to crucify you, strip you naked, beat you, judge you, condemn you. And Paul says, hey, there is nothing in the world that I like, because why? They already done this to me when I was crucified with Christ. Secondly, there's nothing desirable in the world, because I know what the world thinks about me, because I identify with Christ. Do you understand? This is where Jesus said, if the world hates you, don't marvel. Because why? It hated me. So when you see your friends not want to be around you, or they poke fun at you, or they joke about you, you shouldn't feel bad, because your flesh has been what? Crucified with Christ. You should recognize, they've already done this to me once. Because I'm identifying with who? With Christ.
That's good.
Paul, you think about Paul? Paul especially, his religious friends were stoning him. Not the illegal drug kind. I'm talking rocks, right? They were following him around, trying to stone him. Getting false people, you know, we were looking at this trial that's going on in the Supreme Court, or for the Supreme Court. And, you know, I look at this and I think, I marvel not. Because the religious leaders of Jesus' day, in Paul's day, they would find false witnesses who had a good reputation and make up stories.
Wow.
And as a result, they were beaten. They were jailed. No evidence. But Paul says, don't marvel, because the world system, those who live in the world, those who live darkness, those who are not identified with Christ, they hate you. You should quit trying to please them. Because you can't. They will never like you, because they hate him. They hate Jesus. And you're identified with him. You're partnered with him. Because you're partnered with him, they don't like you. Because why? They already judged him. They already condemned him. They beat him. They stripped him naked. And they killed him. So what do you think they want to do to you?
Come on.
Because you're partnered with him. And this is what Jesus talks about, the suffering. You suffer now, so what? He suffered while he was here doing the will of God. You suffer for a little bit here doing the will of God. Right? Then, when you die, or when he comes, you will rule and reign with him forever.
Praise God.
That's what he said. We've been seated together with Christ. My identity is with him. Whatever I suffer here, whatever people say, doesn't matter.
Right.
Because they did that to him.
Amen.
Actually, you should be happy. This is when the Bible says, be happy when you suffer for Christ's sake. When people recognize you, that you're a Christian, and they joke about you, or they laugh at you, or they don't want to promote you, or do this, or doesn't matter. You should what? Rejoice.
Yes.
Well, thank God I look like him a little bit. Right? You're like, oh, thank God I can identify with him.
Yeah.
Why? Because the day will come when he will identify with you before his Father in heaven. And that's what you're looking for. By faith, you believe it now. But by at that point, you know, if we get the view, what does the world see of me? It's the same thing they saw in him. I don't want to hang around people who are trying to beat me or abuse me or strip me naked or kill me or condemn me or judge me. That's what the world does. That's their viewpoint of you, oh believer. One who's identified with Christ. That's what he said. And Paul says, I'm already crucified with Christ. See, God didn't just lay your mistakes on him. By faith, he laid you on him. That's why he says, I was crucified with Christ. That's why you don't have to pay for the same thing twice.
That's good.
You know, you make a mistake. Okay, that's been paid for. I remember paying for it with Jesus. Why? I'm identifying with him. And if I identify with him, then I go free. I'm not intentionally trying to do wrong. But if you make a mistake, you don't have to wait 3 days till you feel better till the Lord forgave you. Does that make sense? And so you just go on and say, Lord, I missed it. I'm sorry. I repent. I made a mistake. Right? And the Bible says what? The blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Go on. Let's look a little further here. Again, Galatians 6:14 says, Paul says, I was crucified to the world and the world to him.
Mm.
He's already been crucified over this. Paul says, my identity is with him. I've been crucified to the world. I mean, I know what they think of me. I know they don't care about me. I know they don't care about godly things. I know they don't care about moral values. I know they don't care about the preaching of the gospel. That's why you have such a, in today's society, it seems like, I remember as a kid, I used to wonder, like, how, because there was this huge wall, like middle ground, of what you thought was good and bad. Like this huge gray area.
Yeah.
You know, as a kid, teenager, young adult, whatever, older, middle age, elderly boy, I used to think, how are you going to discern which side was good and what side was evil?
Yeah.
But as we get close, you know, I mean naturally, as we get closer to the end, that wall, that balance beam that used to be like 10 feet across, is shrinking fast.
Yeah.
And it's becoming narrower and narrower, and you have to either get on one side or the other.
Wow. Right?
And so when he talks about loving light, well, eventually, like, those who want to practice darkness, those who walk in the light, I used to think, man, I want to make sure I'm walking in more light than I am darkness. Well, it's going to come to a point to where it's going to be clear.
Yeah.
Or obvious. Who do you love? What side are you on? The question really won't even have to most likely be asked. It'd already be known. Look at this, Romans 6:6. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that therefore, henceforth, from now on, we should not serve sin. Why? Because you don't need to. Because that thing was what? Destroyed. You know, we talked about, in weeks past, we've mentioned how sometimes the enemy will say, you can't help it. You can't resist. It's just something you have to deal with your whole life or whatever, right? You're just going to bite your fingernails your whole life. You can't get over it. Or you always have to deal with this one issue, or you always have to serve sin, or nobody's perfect. You know, he feeds you all these lies or untruths. And here, he's telling you, you've already paid for that sin. That guy's dead.
Mm.
You don't have to serve sin anymore. Why? Because your identity now isn't with that sin, because that's dead. You actually were crucified with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's my real ID? Well, it's seated with him in heavenly places. And to be seated with him again in heavenly places has to mean that you've been made right. Because if you weren't made right, then you couldn't be there.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
And then God gave you credit, so to speak. How many of you ever spend money on credit? Or credit? That money you don't have?
Mm.
Anybody?
Yes.
Let's pray for those people with their hands up. Why can't you just exhibit that over in your righteousness factor? I'm going to act righteous even though I don't feel like it. Because you spend money you don't have, you could get forgiveness you didn't earn.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, God gave me credit, so to speak, here. He gave me righteousness credit. He said, hey, look, you were crucified with Christ. You received that offering. You receive what Jesus did. Now I'm going to give you a line of righteousness credit that'll last your lifetime.
Wow. Wow.
Right?
Amen.
And Jesus has said, I'm going to pay that back for you.
Wow.
He's your banker, so to speak, of righteousness. So
that's
there's
good.
No reason for you to feel like bad or if you make a mistake, or you just got to remember your real ID. Who are you connected with? Who are you identifying with? You know, as a kid, I remember we grew up in a pretty, you know, it's like, how do you know you live in a bad area? You know, stuff like that. I remember one day, fourth grade, I lived pretty close to the elementary school that I went to, and one day I heard all this commotion. And I seen these kids, not fourth grade, I seen these kids running past my house real fast. And then I saw these other kids chasing them, fourth graders, with baseball bats. That's why they're running so fast. Unfortunately, some of those kids chasing with baseball bats, I knew, and they were my friends. So I had to unidentify with them in the future. I don't want to get in any trouble, right? I don't want them getting mad at me. You know, like I had a friend, he was sixth grade, I was fourth grade, and he rolled his own cigarettes. This is the way we grew up, right? He was a great artist. I mean, this kid could draw. He was only sixth grade. But he would roll his own cigarettes. You know, he had his own papers and make his own cigarettes. So when during recess, he would call. And one day he said to me, "Hey, you know, it dawned on me. Are we friends?" I said, "Yeah, we're friends. Of course." And he said, "Well, I always fight with my friends." So then I said, "This is what somebody." They asked me why I'm so sharp, because this is what I had to grow up. I said, "Okay, here, let's do this. Let's no longer be friends, and we won't fight." And he said, "Okay." I said, "Okay." So we weren't friends anymore, but we didn't have to fight. I would have lost, of course. So, you know, you think about this. I had to unidentify with him,
yeah,
because it wasn't healthy for me. I had to find a new identity. I was going through an identity crisis. Like, who am I going to identify with? And, you know, in today's world, everyone's trying to identify with someone or some group. And if they would identify with Jesus and recognize he will never let me down.
Amen.
He'll be there for me.
Yeah.
And it's not only me identifying with him, but more importantly, him identifying with me.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
So, but knowing this, Romans 6:6 says that our old man is crucified, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that we should not serve sin. Look at Galatians 3:13. It says, Jesus became sin on the cross.
Yeah.
He became a curse so that you and I, we could live free. Okay, let's read it. Galatians 3:13. Or we can just start verse 10. Well, verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So if Christ already became that curse for you, then what does that mean? That means you're blessed. That means you can what? Go free. You don't have to be, quote, cursed in any area. Somebody curses you, they think, well, no, I ain't going to receive that. Someone can say bad things about me, but I don't have to receive that. Why? Because Christ was cursed already. Mm-hmm. And he identifies with me. I was crucified with him. Mm-hmm. So that's already done. That's out the window. That shouldn't bother you a bit. Somebody says something, somebody does something. And more importantly, that curse was like a judgment against you. But since you were crucified with him,
yes,
you identify with him,
yes,
that's taken care of.
Yeah.
Right? You don't have to, why would I want to live sad and just feel bad for not living up to our expectation? And by doing that, you're not living up to your expectation. Because why? That's in the past. That's paid for. You need to look at yourself as he sees you. How do you identify with him? Well, he died for me. I was crucified with him. The world doesn't love me, right? I was crucified to the world. And Jesus was crucified. The world crucified him. And I was in him. Therefore, I'm free. This is, if you look at it from this point of view, You don't have an identity crisis anymore.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about what others who don't know him, who don't identify with him, are saying.
Yeah.
I mean, if I know Christ has redeemed me, what is redeemed? You know redeemed can only happen one time, biblically. You can't be redeemed twice.
Mm.
Redeemed means to buy back, right?
Yeah.
And he's never going to sell you. So if he bought you, you know, if he bought you one time, he's not selling you. So he can't buy you again when he already owns you.
That's good. That's
right? Good. So it says Christ redeemed me from the curse. He already bought you back.
That's good.
So now you've got to identify with that. It's not about, this is his part that he's done. Now your part is to believe it.
Yes.
Right? Your part is to embrace it. Your part is to walk in it and say, okay, he redeemed me. Then that means I can go free. He doesn't owe me anything. Because why? Because now we're partners. I don't owe him anything. But flip it around for a moment and think, what if, this is why, you know, I know I may not look like a deep thinker, but I am. But this is why he needs you and I to cooperate with him to reach a lost and dying world, a world that doesn't identify with him. Because this is why we got to be patient with people. Because at one point, there was things we didn't see. And just what you see now is not everything. There's going to be more in the future that you're going to realize, that you're going to discover, right? Because at one point, you were lost and without him. You didn't know all his promises. Or you didn't care. Or you had a really shallow revelation. Right? So that's why we can be more patient with others. You know, Isaiah 53, 3 and 5 says this, Christ was despised, he was stricken with disease, with our sin. What does despised mean? In one sense, it means hated. Another sense, it means to be without regard. If you despise someone, it doesn't mean you hate them. That's one definition. But it could also mean you just treat lightly. No big deal. You just, whatever. You don't care what they say. And it says that Jesus was despised. Not just by men. But also that the Lord himself turned his, God the Father, turned his back on him. Why? He became sin. Not figuratively speaking. He actually became sin.
Right.
That's what he became. That's why his body, it didn't even look human anymore. Because he laid on Jesus all the transgressions, all the sin of the world, of humanity. Why? For what purpose? So that humanity could become righteous. So humanity could, if they would receive him, they could identify with him and they could be made right in God's sight, blameless.
Good.
So that's why he says he was stricken. He was despised, right?
Amen.
Look at Romans 6:14. You know, if you think about God just didn't lay the sin and sickness on Jesus, but according to Paul, he laid us on him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why, because he laid us on him, then he laid us on him so he could lay him on us. That's why you can be seated with him in heavenly places. In him. You know the Bible always talks about in him. In him. Well, he's in you, but you're in him. So you get the partnership factor. The benefits of what he's obtained, you get to take advantage of.
Yeah.
Because what? In him. You're in Christ, in him. Romans 6:14 says, sin shall no longer, what? Be your Lord.
Mm.
Why? Because that price for that sin has been dealt with. It's been killed. It's been condemned. It's been judged. And if the word, you know, this is, if the word heals us and the word saves us and the word redeems us from every sin, sickness, disease, fear, that word, of course, is what? Jesus.
Right.
He's the one that redeemed you. He's the one that healed you. This is your partner I'm talking about. This is why when people go, Oh, you don't understand the pain. You don't know how much hurt. They hurt my feelings. They said this or they did this. They messed me up. Okay. I understand. You're not the only one that's ever been hurt by what somebody else did to you. Most extreme case is what you did to Jesus. Right? Look what you did to him. So whatever someone else did to you is very minute, small compared to what you did to Jesus. That's why he tells you, you let it go. You know, you want to pray, Lord, bless me, Lord, do this for me. Oh, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. And he says, well, can you forgive that person? No, can't do that. You don't understand. You don't know the depths of my pain. Oh, you shallow believer, you. How does he not know? Look what he went through for you.
That's right.
He carried it all for you. He carried you. You were crucified with him. Think about it. The Bible says that, well, we're going to look. You think this was just something that was just pretty easy to accomplish and fulfill? No. This, he struggled, he labored with this. This is why, you know, you want your prayers to be answered. You go, I want my prayers to be answered. Why doesn't God answer my prayer? And I believe in whatever things you desire when you pray. I mean, I believe it. Yeah, but did you look at verses 25 and 26? Do you know what those are? Verse 25, and if you have anything against anyone,
yeah,
forgive them.
That's right.
You got to forgive.
Yeah.
Why? Because you were forgiven so much. Do you think it, you know, if you were being interviewed by a known liar, do you think it's kind of hypocritical for them to ask you to tell the truth? When they won't tell the truth? You'd be like, oh, come on. Come on. You tell the truth. You know, we see in the different hearings people saying, tell the truth, tell the truth. Yet it's on record that many of those people wanting someone to tell the truth, they themselves are known confessed liars. It's just the record. That's the facts. It's the fact. So here's another fact. You not forgiving someone for what they did is not impressing God. It's not going to get your prayers answered. Why? Because the facts are he forgave you of something much more.
That's right. Amen.
And how can you hold it against them if he never hold it, if he doesn't hold it, what you did him, against him?
Right.
You need to let it go.
Amen.
Like the Frozen song, Disney song. Spiritual song there, right? Let it go. All right. Look at this. 2 Timothy 2. Verse 11. It says, it's a faithful saying. If we be dead with him, we shall also, what? Live with him. This again is our partnership or identifying as a partner with Christ. If we be dead with him, if right now we consider ourselves dead to the world system, I'm not saying we don't feel things. I'm not saying we don't have, can't see and have emotions and things like that. What I'm saying is, if we recognize I've already been crucified, the world, I'm crucified with Christ, and like Paul said, I'm crucified to the world, that means I know what they think of me. So I'm not going to live for them because my identity is in Christ. Right? My identity, who I really am, who I really want. And you're not a great sinner anyway. You know, a Christian can't really go all out and sin. It just doesn't look right. They can't cuss as good. They try. But it's just not in them. You know, you got like this boundary that you go, I just can't do that. You know, I can't steal from grandma. You know, whatever. Sinners can sin because that's just what they do. They're identifying to the world.
Yeah.
But a Christian, I'm just telling you guys, know, it's really hard to go out and be like all-out sinner, worse than the sinner, equal to. Because inside it bothers you. You can't even steal like a lie. You can just steal a little bit and you feel bad. Oh, I took someone's pen. I feel really bad. I gotta return that, right? You just can't sin like the world even. Why? Because you're not identified with them.
Yeah.
Your identity belongs to Christ. So in that sense, you're crucified your flesh. And the world knows you're not one of them. Remember I was telling about I'd hang out with my friends in fourth grade? Now, most of them didn't make it out of junior high. They ended up in jail, right? But they didn't want to hang around me because they said, you just don't do things right. You know, like, you just don't fit in with us. There's something different about you. I'm trying to fit in. I just can't do everything that you guys do. I'm trying to fit in. I'm trying to identify with you, but I don't. I know I didn't fit in, but I'm trying. You know? They would steal bicycles. You know, I couldn't ride them. I'm like, I can't, man. That's not mine. I mean, I'll walk. You're like, what's wrong with you? We got this bike for you. Whatever. You're like, I just can't. I like you guys, but I can't do that. Why? Because you don't really quite fit in. And then the world knows you're not one of them.
That's right.
So they always kind of keep you on the outside because they know you don't really identify with them. You're different. Right?
Yeah.
Thank God we're different.
Amen.
That's why the Bible calls us a peculiar people, right?
Yes.
So the partnership is our identification to Christ and his identifying with us on the cross. The real problem we face in life is most likely recognizing our union with him. That, what I mean by that is, you and I should make it a requirement to say, look, I belong to him. I'm dead to the world. The world doesn't value me. They don't care about me. They crucified me already. I want to identify with him. And whenever I suffer in this life because I'm a Christian, that should make me so happy. Why? Because I'm going to rule and reign with him.
Yeah.
That's why it says, the Bible says, temporarily, here, you get to partake in Christ's sufferings.
Mm-hmm.
You get a part mm-hmm. in the sufferings that he experienced. Why? Because if they hated him, they're going to hate you.
Yeah.
But you look at, man, where are we going with this? He's called us to rule and reign with him, right? In heavenly places. So, there's a lot of scriptures. Of course, there's more that we could look. I just want you to read this one. Revelations chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. I think God needs us to partner with him so we can help reconcile or tell other people about him, about his great plan for their lives, about how he wants to redeem them, how he wants them to join the light side, get out of the dark side, right? Use the Holy Spirit force, right? Mm-hmm. You understand God needs you. He needs me. He needs us to partner with him to tell other people who are not yet redeemed, not yet bought back, right? So they can identify with him instead of with the world. Look at Revelations 1, 17, 18. It says this, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, fear not, I'm the first and the last. I am he that liveth, and was dead, and behold, I live forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and of death. Now you notice this word is really important. He said, I, Jesus is speaking, I am he that lives and was dead. Not just physically, but he had to die. Now there's people who could fight you over this and say that could never happen. But how could Jesus die physically if he never died spiritually?
Mm.
Because if you never died spiritually, you could die physically.
That's right.
Yeah. Adam would have lived forever. Right? Mm-hmm. He would have lived forever if he wouldn't have ate of the tree. Adam and Eve. But when he laid of the tree, God said, the day you eat, this day you shall surely die. Well, people go, well, there's such an inconsistency because he didn't die that day. He did die.
Mm-hmm.
He died spiritually.
Yeah.
And then eventually that took its course in his body.
Yeah.
Jesus said, Jesus is known as the firstborn among the brethren. the firstborn. Which means what? There's a second born, a third born, a you, whatever your number is, whatever my number is. But he had to be separated because you were separated from God. Do you understand? He was separated. And really, he took your separation from God when he died on the cross. When he was made alive and you're in him, then you identify with that. Now you become the righteousness of God in Christ. He had to die because you were dead. You and I were dead. So he had to die as our partner. So that in his death, we could get his what? His life. Amen. If he took our sin, he had to. Otherwise, we could never go to the throne of God. Are you kidding? He had to become sin so we could become what? Righteous. And as we believe that and we identify with that, our prayers won't be weak. We won't be lame. We won't be, I just don't know God. No, you know, like, I'm a son, I'm a daughter, yes. I'm a child of
yes,
God.
Yes, hallelujah.
And I'm not tricking him into doing this. No. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
He read the fine print. It's at the bottom of the contract.
Yeah.
But if he never became sin, you could never become right. If he never died spiritually, how could you become alive spiritually? You couldn't. So when you identify with Christ, this is why Paul said, I was crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live. Not me, but what? Christ. His life that's in me.
Yes, yes.
This is how I live. And I know I'm going to have some suffering as a believer. That's okay. It's not a problem. Why? Because I know I'm going to rule and reign what? With him. Amen. Because of him. Amen?
Hallelujah.
So, in conclusion, Christ obtained a complete victory and redemption for us. Mm-hmm. For mankind. Notice I said, how did he die? He was made sin for you and I. God raised him up by his mighty power, made him alive. You know, when it says he was raised up by his mighty power, you know the actual Greek word talks about muscle.
Oh.
See, he's got so much muscle. That's why he said, no one can take you out of the Father's hand. He gets a grip on you. No one's going to pluck you out. No
That's one, good.
He's too strong. Right? He's got
Amen.
Too much muscle. That's what he's talking about. They're talking like solid muscle. When he's talking about mighty, he's got muscle. God is not an old man with a cane. You know? He's got muscle. So no one's he raised Jesus, you know, by his mighty power. He's not like the Pillsbury Doughboy up in heaven. He's not, he's got, it says this is what this word means. Mighty means he's got muscle on top of muscle. No one's as strong as him.
Praise God.
So when you understand that, so that's why I go to the gym. No, that's not what I'm saying. He is your gym, right? He can be your fitness center, spiritual fitness center. But we understand that. Similarly, when you and I accept Christ and all he has done for us, we are made alive and are eligible for all the benefits, the partnership of the identification that he has with us.
That's good.
So identifying with him is saying, look, I belong to him. It's going to change the way we think. It's going to change the way we behave. It's going to change circumstances in our life. Amen? We realize we don't have to put up with things that in the past maybe we put up with. Because why? We have a partner who's helping us in this.
Amen. Praise God.
All right. Woo! Let's close in prayer.
Yes.
Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for partnering with us, that we can identify with you, but more importantly, you identified with us. You're not ashamed to call us your brothers and sisters, that you love us, that you have a plan and a purpose for us, that we are crucified to you, Lord, that Galatians 2:20, we are crucified with you so that we can be made alive with you. We just thank you for that honor and that privilege and the purpose in our heart to do all that you called us to do so we can bring you glory, so we can win a lost and dying world, not being distracted or detoured or delayed in the mission, but Lord, seeking you each and every day to identify, to increase, so that we can make an impact and accomplish what you called us to. In Jesus' name.
Jesus. Amen.
Okay, Brother Tony.